Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula. We've been having a lot of fun
on this
Thursday. And maybe it's because we're about to hop on a plane. We'll be broadcasting live from the District of Columbia, our nation's capital, as we get ready for one of the most anticipated Army-Navy games in recent history, mm-hmm. as Army wins the American Athletic Conference, first conference title in 134 years. So excited to go out there and kind of see the sights and the scenes of that. We'll bring you that tomorrow. You'll get some fun later today, and you should probably go out and enjoy the fun with these fellas. It'll be the drive out on a Thirsty Thursday at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave. And they'll be joined, not in person, but on the phone, by Henry Toto at 2:15. So definitely a little bit of appointment listening there for you to hear from one of the linebackers in a core that's going to be very watched in this upcoming game versus the Miami Dolphins. That's actually one of the places that I think you have to look at and that the Dolphins kind of pose problems to. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of talk about that. What problems do the Dolphins pose? And what did the Jets do to give the Miami defense some problems? Which side of that would you like to start with?
I think we've mentioned, you know, what Tua likes to do in terms of attacking a defense, but the Jets on their defense is very intriguing to me.
Yeah. So okay, I again preface this by saying I ain't no Seth Payne, I ain't no Clint Sterner, I did not play anywhere near no NFL. However. You know, with whatever I can possibly bring and what I've kind of been able to suss out, these are some of the things that it felt like the Jets did against Miami last week in a game that went to overtime. The Jets were able to put up, 26 points in that game against Miami. And so not trying to, you know, put it up there like they did incredible, but this was not a great game for the Miami Dolphins defense. And obviously that is something that you would like to replicate, making the Dolphins not have a great game in this one on Sunday. So one of the things that just to, you know, fully evidence how good of a game it was for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers threw for over 300 yards, which I'm sure you're like, okay, so he had a good game. That was the first time he did that in 35 games.
That when I saw that was wild.
It literally dates back to December 12th of 2021 when he was still playing in Green Bay and they played against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally it took playing against the lowly Bears for him to put up 300 points, and he hasn't any time since. Now, of course, he missed damn near all of last season outside of four snaps. Mm-hmm. But still, like, that's a lot of snaps that he has, you know, had where he had not put up 300 yards. Did it against this Miami Dolphins defense. And part of the way that he did that, he got the ball out quick a lot against this Miami Dolphins defense. Like, they had some issues, the Dolphins did, with some of their read and react and being disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And tackling really is the big question, or is the big thing for them. Tackling has been a problem. So he got the ball out quick in some instances and allowed the playmakers that team does have, because, I mean, they have not been good. The Jets have. And I guess it's funny saying that considering that you went up there and lost to them. Sorry to bring it up, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, my bad, dog. but, yeah, like, that team hasn't been that great, but you still know that they have great players. Like Garrett Wilson, great wide receiver. Like, you still have Devontae Adams there, right? You still have some talented players there. And he got the ball out and let those guys work in space. And if there's one player, if not a few players you think of on this Texas team, who is that player?
That would be Nico Collins.
I feel like that's got to be something. Like, and I know that that's already something that they do, is like get him the ball on screens, right? Get him the ball over the middle of the field, right? In, you know, especially when you get him man, you get him man coverage, put him in the slot and just have him win to the inside. That is something that the Jets did, specifically with Garrett Wilson. Like, they line him up in the slot, and they, you know, the Dolphins were not doing well. They were losing in man a lot. And so that was one of the ways that the Jets got after them. Now, the Dolphins also had penalties that extended drives. There was a lot of third down conversions by the Jets, and some of that was a little bit of Aaron Rodgers magic, which that does bring some things up, because one, are they going to have penalties again, the Dolphins? We don't know. But then two, is C.J. Stroud going to be able to do the magic where he extends plays, but not just does that, but puts the ball on the money when he needs to? Because that's been something that's been the one place where I was like, okay, well, this is definitely feels like a sophomore slump. All the other things you can talk about, pressure and everything, but when you saw C.J. missing in a way that it felt like an anomaly is the word I was looking for, that's the thing that's a little concerning. But if he can get back to doing some of the C.J. things where he's putting the ball on the money, it felt like this team, this Dolphins team, at least of late, has not been playing good on third down and has been allowing some of those things to get going.
That's why this is such an important game for C.J. Stroud, because, you know, the short answer when you were talking about, you know, what did the Jets do to give Miami's defense problems, I immediately thought, well, Aaron Rodgers had a game. You know, I mean, the short answer is that you laid everything else out. But C.J. Stroud needs to have a game, because if you don't do it now against the Dolphins, who are susceptible, and coming off a bye week with that extra preparation, that extra rest, you're going to have to really start thinking, all right, kind of what I asked ND. I mean, can it really happen? Can you really flip a switch and all of a sudden change kind of the angle, you know, the direction you're going based on just an off week and kind of recharging?
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes you can, but ND flat out said, no, I mean, you can maybe get a little better, but I think a little better would be great. This is a big game for C.J. Stroud.
Can I throw one more thing out at you? Mm-hmm. And I know one person in particular who would love to see the Texans try and replicate some of what the Jets were able to do against the Dolphins in this way. And that would be Mark Vandermeer, because the Jets did a lot of dump-offs to running backs and allowed the running backs to attack them. Again, this was a team that was not tackling well last week.
Yeah.
Will that continue into this game? I don't know. But, like, if they're not, getting the ball to Joe Mixon in space and allowing him to go to work, I think that would be an interesting proposition. And that is something that Mark Vandermeer has been pounding the table for, more screens and those types of things. And to be fair, this team hasn't really executed those very well.
Yeah.
That requires a level of precision and choreography that this offensive line hasn't pulled off often. But if you do, it does look like there could be a reward, particularly in this game.
Well, and you also have to have more than Joe Mixon doing it, because obviously, you know, you can do some of that with Ogunbowale. But I think this is where, and I've been talking about pounding it. I've been saying this for
you've been talking about what?
Pounding it. I've been saying this for several weeks now. I think Nico Collins, man, Nico Collins, more screens, more short passes, more receptions behind the line of scrimmage. I think that's where they can do it. But it still comes back down to C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick. Is that a big adjustment that they made with the off week to maybe really recalibrate, rethink about things and how they're going to attack these with the shorter passing game?
So that's the idea of, like, what you do, or that one way, right, against the Dolphins defense. Mm-hmm. But clearly, the headline is the offense, right? That offense has gotten the ball out quick. They've got guys that work in space. And two of those guys, their names are Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Caserio does a great job giving you that game on Tuesdays, letting you know, hey, this is the breakdown of the team coming up. And he did the similar thing this week. This is cut 7 here, Fig. What makes the Dolphins wide receivers, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, so damn problematic?
They're fast, time speed, and they play fast, and they play with urgency, and they both have a combination of speed and or short space quickness. So they can get away from the defense. Waddle can get away from coverage line of scrimmage. Tyreek transitions with the ball in an instant after the catch. So their ability to accelerate with the ball when they get into their hands, to play at their speed, that's what I would say is as taxing as anything else. And you see it. I mean, they both had over 100 catches or whatever it was last year. It was a lot. This year, with two out, you know, a little bit different, but you've seen over the last however many weeks, they've made a significant impact on the offense. Yep.
And let's just remind everyone that over the past 4 weeks, Tua has been doing exactly that. 78% passing completion percentage. That's a big problem. Like we can talk about what the Texans are going to do against and maybe exploit the Miami defense. That Miami offense, that is going to be really, really big, you know, with Tua being so accurate.
Sorry, I should probably have my microphone on. plus, I also, like, you talk about that, right? Also, one of the things that is causing a lot of focus and is one of the reasons why it was so frustrating that Azeez Alshire ends up being suspended mm-hmm. is that linebacker play is going to matter in a good amount, especially because of the short game. And this is Nick Caserio, Cut 8 here, talking about that short passing game as an extension of the running attack.
Yeah, it's really an extension of a running game. So even in overtime, going back to the game the other day, they had two screens to Jonnu, and they threw a screen to A-Chain, and they were basically in a red area. So sometimes those plays are not breather plays, but they're an extension of the running game. They're just plays that get to the perimeter of the defense. So they're as good a screen team, or at least a perimeter screen team, as there is in the league. I mean, Kansas City probably put them up there as a more traditional kind of screen team, which you'll see here, you know, in a few weeks. But they do a good job with the passing game. They mix and match a little bit, and Tua does a good job, not only on the screens, but of just taking what the defense gives them and then throwing a catchable ball and then giving their skill players an opportunity to transition with the ball after the catch.
Man, and that's going to be the game, really. What Tua's accuracy is, if he can continue what he's doing, and if you can tackle those guys. We said it on Monday. Tackling.
Yeah, tackling's going to be huge. And yeah. Linebacker core, safety core is also going to be huge.
Don't forget A-Chan either.
No, that's and he said that, and I was like, damn, I have not mentioned that man's name. We're familiar with him around these parts. Yeah. He did go to A&M. Track speed.
Yeah.
Right, like that's one of those things. Football speed, track speed, a little bit different in that regard. He's got the former, I guess I put them that way, as in addition to it. So, yeah, that's going to be something that matters. So the linebackers, one of whom you'll be able to hear at 2:15 on the drive, Henry Toto, he'll matter. Neville Hewitt will matter a good amount, right? Because we've seen him kind of acquit himself well having to come out. And
you're leaving out a name.
We've also seen a little bit of And then for your benefit, you got to hope that Christian Harris is involved there, because that's one of the key things that he does well, is that lateral movement and being able to go and meet guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is where you meet speed with speed. And if he is available to go and play a decent amount, he helps you meet some of that speed with some speed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the big factors in him getting back on the field, and why I think he will be back on the field this week. The term sideline to sideline is often thrown around too casually. There aren't a lot of true sideline to sideline linebackers in the NFL. There's some that are really good, but to be able to cover that kind of ground, Christian Harris can. Christian Harris can absolutely do that, and that's at a premium against the Dolphins.
Yeah, but we'll see if he can go. He did practice again today.
Ron's going to ask him. Ron's going to ask Henry Toto. So, first question: who lined up next to you today?
He might.
That's a good question. Hey, who when you look to your right and left, who was there?
He might. I do find it interesting. Oh, okay, so like when it comes to the linebackers, concern level on having to guard those kind of the short passing game that really works almost like a run game, with or without Christian Harris?
Well, Toto, that's a problem. If you know, he's had a good streak of games here, mostly in the run game versus the run game. And Neville Hewitt plays with all kinds of heart, and I know that sounds like a backhanded compliment.
It definitely does.
But he's not a great cover guy. He's been a little better this year. I mean, it truly is like, yo, Christian, if you can go, we want you to go.
Would be helpful. But yeah. I mean, it's, even if he can go, as has been mentioned, there's probably going to be a snap count. I don't know that you can just have him out there consistently. Oh, yeah. So it's still going to be incumbent on those guys. Jimmy Ward obviously playing in that spot that Petrie does, bringing the physicality. And then the safety's coming up and also making hits while also having good eyes and making sure that they don't get got over top as well. So all of those come into play. And that was another thing that the Jets kind of did. They did attack over the top some. C.J. Stroud obviously talked yesterday as well. And he was asked on his relationship with Tua Tagovailoa, and he also got into a little bit of advice that Tua gave him.
Last year, you know, I got to meet him when we joined practice with him and got to talk to him, and, you know, a lot of respect for him, who he is as a person, who he is as a man of God, you know, and then, you know, just the advice he gave me was really good, and, you know, I really appreciate it, and, you know, it helped me throughout last year and this year, so I'm a real big fan of Tua, and think he does a lot of great things on the field, and, you know, glad to see him back playing, and, you know, that his career is going to, you know, continue to be great, and, you know, I'm very happy for him.
Can you tell us what the advice was that he gave you?
Really just take completions. Yeah, I mean, don't hold the ball too long. So.
I'm good with that.
This was like a great week to implement that.
I'm good with that right there.
All right, this feels like an absolutely great week to implement that for this Houston Texans team. But yeah, a few of the problems that are posed by this Dolphins team. I'm super excited to see what this looks like at noon on Sunday, and you'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. In fact, we're back at home, baby, so all that stuff is going on. You'll be able to see Sean and Seth at the southeast corner of the building starting at 9 a.m., as you always do right here on your home of Houston Texans, Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is about the time where we hand it off to our guy Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what you got?
Yeah, so yesterday I talked about the black movies that black people get upset if you never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Today I'm going to talk about the non-black movies that people get upset if you never saw it.
Yeah, let's talk about the Godfathers and all the other sorts next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. So yesterday, we had the discussion of black movies that black people get upset if you never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is courtesy of Kev on Stage, a very funny guy on social media. He do a lot of funny content. And if you weren't listening yesterday, this was the context of the whole black movies black people get pissed off if you've never seen.
The top movies that black people will get mad at you if you say you haven't seen.
Coming to America.
If you ain't seen Coming to America, what is you doing?
Why are you alive?
Why are you here? What's the point of you? You ain't seen Coming to America? Get out of my house.
Get the hell out, actually.
Get out.
Harlem Nights.
Yeah.
The black.
You was way behind schedule.
The blacks ain't having it.
Especially to be as black in this movie as you are.
But I've seen it now. But see, this is the problem. Even when you do the black stuff that you shouldn't have done, people just get mad that you...
You got to get thrown on the grill.
Got to get thrown on the grill. And you know what? I decided to be fair.
All right.
Let's go non-black movies that people get pissed off if you've never seen. And I'm probably going to be guilty of a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a quick little list. If you know, if it's any movies, popular movies you've never seen, text them in 713-572-4610. I just got a list of movies.
Okay.
I saw some of these. I haven't saw all of them. But Forrest Gump. You think it's a must that you see Forrest Gump?
I don't know if it's a must.
I don't even know if we need to do must, but it's popular enough that so many see it. And here's the tough part is I'm gonna upset some people. So right up front, my bad. But there's so many things that are like in our popular culture that you know enough just by
living.
You don't
even have to.
Not that you don't have to. Like, you probably should still go around and watch it, but you're like, I can get by where people won't know.
Yeah.
And Forrest Gump is one of those. I've never actually sat down and watched it all the way
through. I've watched it a few times, but I think there are a few that are musts. Like, if obviously everybody likes movies, I think so. And there are certain movies that you should see. I don't think Forrest Gump's a must. It's cool, it's good.
Yeah. What about The Notebook? Because The Notebook made a list too.
Never seen it all the way through.
Okay.
It's not a guy thing.
I've seen it one time.
I
know plenty of guys that are like, nah, I rock with The Notebook.
But generally, I don't think so. I think it's a chick flick.
All right. So here's where some of the the comedy movies, because a lot of people, like a lot of the movies that won Oscars and all this other stuff, I don't really put too much stock in those. But what about some of the, I guess, lack of better word, hood classics?
Mm-hmm.
So Napoleon Dynamite.
Have seen Napoleon Dynamite. I will say that.
I'm not going to say it's a must.
No.
But it's very good.
What about Mean Girls?
Mean Girls.
I saw that
solid
with my daughter.
Very good.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
I mean, there's some things. And again, I feel like you probably know the major stuff. Like on Wednesdays, we wear pink. That comes through, right? Stop trying to make fetch happen, right? Yeah. He doesn't even go here. You know, I feel like you probably know the things that probably the main things that are going to be quoted and kind of used.
Yeah.
You'll get by. You'll be all right.
What about the bit Lebowski?
I feel like that's a must.
I never saw that.
I actually haven't run the Big Lebowski.
I feel like it's a must because it's just so different, you know, the way it's put together, the characters.
The dude,
you know, that's why, you know, when I say that's like your opinion, man, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That's a line from the Big Lebowski. But
I feel like people would just be saying that, just your opinion,
no,
man.
No, but he goes, that's like your opinion,
that's
man.
That's like your opinion. Yeah, I recall seeing that clip. Again, I have not actually watched the movie.
No, I feel like it's a really well-done movie.
What about The Godfather?
I saw Godfather 1 and 2.
I just saw The Godfather like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
People would argue it's the greatest movie ever made.
They would argue that.
Yeah. So that's a must.
Yeah. What about Scarface? And I want to bring this up because we was talking to Sean Pendergast last night.
Oh, and we might hurt him. Well, not hurt him. He knows this, but like, this might hurt people, especially knowing Sean Pendergast is like a
big time mobster guy, mobster movie.
He could quote The Sopranos back to you, forward and backwards, like all those.
He never saw Scarface.
Yeah, that's what? A little surprising.
He never seen the movie Scarface.
Not even, it used to be on reruns, like on TNT and stuff.
He said he'd never seen it before.
That is shocking.
That is shocking. I was shocked when he said that. What about the movie Dirty Dancing? I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Never watched it. And you're not going to get me to watch. I'm good on it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, Top Gun. I've never seen Top Gun.
Okay, I tried to watch it.
I couldn't get into it.
You should watch the latest one. Because you don't
know. Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick. You don't really need to know much about. Somewhere in the Top Gun, what's the term they use, like for the whole series of movies or whatever?
I guess,
there's a term. But anyway, you got to watch at least one Top Gun. I would say the latest one, Maverick. You don't need to know anything previously, really. It'll explain itself.
Okay. What about Fight Club? I've never seen Fight Club. I know the quote.
First rule of Fight Club.
Don't talk about Fight Club or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I know that part. I know that much of it, but I never sat down.
It's a very good movie. It is also a movie that it's easy to kind of miss what the author and what the writers are trying to get. So like, it's one of those movies that people like it for various different reasons. So you have to figure out which one it is that they like it for.
Yeah,
The Green Mile. Have y'all seen The Green Mile? Is that a must watch?
I don't know if it's a must watch, it's great, and it's a commitment, man. You got to commit to watching that movie.
Yeah. What about The Departed?
Okay.
I seen The Departed, by the way.
There's two movies that I feel are musts. One you haven't mentioned yet that I saw on your list, and The Departed. I feel they are absolute musts. Kind of in a different way, not comedy, mystery, like Big Lebowski, but just the drama, the acting, the everything, the story. I think Shawshank Redemption, which, you know, I think that's a must.
Yeah.
Comes up on the text line a couple times.
And the Departed. Like, it's kind of funny when people, like, get actually upset. You mean you haven't seen Shawshank? And they get upset. I'm not going to get upset. I feel like you're cheating yourself if you haven't seen The Shawshank or The Departed.
Okay.
You're cheating yourself.
Okay.
You haven't brought up one of the ones that's come up a few times, which is Star Wars. People lose their mind if you've not watched, but especially like just the original trilogy or something.
Yeah, see, I feel like that one is a little different because I felt like when you watch Star Wars, you got to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, I kind of put that in the same breath as like, what's the show that's coming on HEB that did that? Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I kind of look at that as Game of Thrones because a lot of people haven't seen Game of Thrones and they just refuse to watch it because of how crazy it is compared to, I mean, with other people, how they always bring it up.
Yeah.
So they just refuse to watch it.
Oh, so it's more about the people that like it than it is the thing itself?
Yeah. So
that is a thing. You can get irritated by that.
Yeah, because that kind of made me not want to watch Game of Thrones a little bit.
Yeah.
But a couple other ones. Ferris Bueller Day Off. I've never seen that movie.
You know what? In a departure from what I've basically been saying, that one actually feels like a must. And you know why?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. Like, you can tell the people that kind of ultimately decide a lot of things in popular culture, especially like advertising and stuff. You can see the influences that are there. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a big one. There are so many things in like media that are references to Ferris Bueller's Day Off that you would never know until you watch it. And you go, oh,
yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah. That's what that is.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, when I saw it, I think I remember seeing it in a theater. And I was like, eh, that was all right. It kind of, the parts of it were just corny and dumb. But it's one of those movies that just grows on you. Like, the next time I saw it, I'm sure it was on TV. I'm like, this is so funny. This is so good.
It's pretty good, too.
It grows on you. Yeah, okay. It grows on you.
You'll enjoy it. I'm not much for recommendations, but I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple other movies that I feel like you got to see. I've seen these movies, but Step Brothers. I feel like you gotta.
Yeah, a lot of the Will Ferrell ones, yeah. Will Ferrell especially. But I haven't seen it.
I didn't like it.
Really?
What is it too kind of sophomore for you? Like
maybe that's it. I was gonna say corny, which is a euphemism for that. I also put it on the.
I did use a big word, didn't I? My bad.
The Will Ferrell scale. I think like in his. You know.
Oh, okay. Let's hear John Lopez's Will Ferrell scale. What you got?
No, on his scale, it's like way down.
What's at the top of the Will Ferrell scale?
What is at the top of the Will Ferrell scale?
Anchorman or something?
Anchorman's way up there.
The one that came to mind was Talladega Nights.
That's way up there. See, I'm saying like Step Brothers doesn't break to those.
Yeah. What about The Hangover?
I love it. I mean, I don't know.
I think you got to see The Hangover.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I seen all of them. I think you got to see The Hangover. If you haven't seen it, you got to go watch it.
There are certain scenes that like are truly just laugh out loud, not LOL, not you know, kind of a, like laugh out loud in The Hangover.
Yeah, and the last one, I feel like this is one of my favorite movies. By the way, you got to see The Breakfast Club, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good movie.
That's another one that I feel like is very popular in like the zeitgeist, where it's like, oh, so much of the stuff references back to this, and that's why it's probably a problem that I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are a couple movies that I feel like you got to see.
Oh, there's so many ones. The Talladega Nights came in, like we mentioned. The Other Guys, the one that they say is funny. Now we're just in the Will Ferrell era of these things.
Yeah, Will Ferrell. I mean, nothing.
Field of Dreams. Like, especially once we get to like the prominent sports ones.
I actually seen that for the first time like a year ago.
The thing about Field of Dreams, if it's not your cup of tea, you're going to hate it. Because it's kind of just fantasy, you know.
What do you think is there in like the sports realm of movies? The ones that are like, yeah, you just kind of have to watch this.
Field of Dreams is up there. I think Hoosiers. You and I have had this discussion.
And that's why I didn't say none. I just smiled.
He's never seen Hoosiers. I think Hoosiers is...
And you can't make me.
It's top three, maybe top five sports movies ever made. Just because of everything, you know, that you can imagine. From the acting to the actors, you know, Gene Hackman and all that stuff, to the story, to the fact that it's based on a real story, all that stuff.
People said Rudy, and you can actually pass on Rudy, in my opinion.
It was all right. It's a rerun on TV movie.
Also, go back and actually learn about like the real Rudy. It really ruins the movie for you. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you don't want to have your movie ruined, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, Usual Suspects is actually one of those movies that you need to watch. But yeah, if you don't want your Rudy ruined, I guess don't look it up. But do. It's interesting.
But
stuff.
Do.
The Mighty Ducks. Good answer. Mm-hmm. There's so many answers. I wish I could get to all of them here on the text line. I guess here, any given Sunday when it comes to... Oh, Remember the Titans. That's the one.
That's
the sports one you have to watch. The Natural comes up. Sandlot comes up as well. Bull Durham. Those all feel like they're right in that space of like the sports ones that you have to watch.
And Hoosiers.
If you say so. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thirsty Thursday. It's indeed that because Ron and Clint, they're getting ready to have a broadcast for you out at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave. They'll also, in the course of their broadcast, they'll talk to Henry Toa at 2:15. So all of that's coming up. But before we hand it off to those fine fellas, is Charles Barkley right about these Houston Rockets? Little hint. No. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Thirsty Thursday, which means Clint and Ron are out on location. They are actually at the Buffalo Wild Wings off Washington Ave. So go see them fine folks there. You know they never come empty-handed, so there's definitely gifts.
Oh, we'll get that.
Gifts.
I'm sure they'll tell us about that.
Out there. So, yeah, go say what's up to the fine fellas. They'll be talking to Henry Toa at 2:15 of your Texans. Now, Want to give one more salute to the Houston Rockets, getting a big-time victory over the Golden State Warriors 91-90 in the NBA Cup quarterfinals at Toyota Center. Again, salute also to the city of Houston showing out, being there, being loud. Seemed like the environment was electric with all of those things. And again, support to the young boys, getting in their first real taste of stakes basketball and playing like it.
It was thirsty, man.
They were thirsty. Just
Alperen Şengün said his boys is thirsty.
We'll take it.
They were, though. They played like it. They got down on the floor. They got the basketball. They rebounded the ball well. Like, they did all of that. Got a little sloppy at times, but yeah, no, that they played really good defensive basketball. The offense, again, needs to take its steps, but that's the progress that this team is taking. And I guess that is, maybe that is what Charles Barkley was trying to get to, as this game was on TNT, so you get inside the NBA. And this was Charles Barkley's assessment of this Rockets team after that big time win against the Warriors team and moving on to the semifinals of the NBA Cup. This is what he had to say about your Rockets.
They don't have any idea how to play basketball.
Play good defense.
They play the game strictly on talent. Like, they should have won that game by, they got so much more talent than the Warriors. But that's one of the reasons I say they got a great record. They're not ready for prime time because the refs had to give them this game tonight. They got a bright future. But, man, they're going to have to learn discipline. They're going to learn to take care of the ball. They're going to have to learn shot selection.
All of that to be said for a team that has, like, three guys under 23 in the starting lineup.
But sometimes it happens faster. Like, you ask Kenny and Shaq, like, sometimes it comes together. Like, they got a lot of talent, and they can't play like they used to be. Like, they relevant. They got a terrific coach. Now they got to learn, like, we got to take care of the ball.
Yeah.
We got to stop taking bad shots. Like, Jalen Green, he almost had 9 points again, except for those two free throws. Like, but, hey, they got a lot of talent, Ernie, but, man, they're going to have to learn how to play basketball.
All right, so I know this is probably going to be different from the way you guys heard this, and you can, I've seen people like, well, Charles Barkley hates Houston and all that stuff. He's still mad about everything. I think that there's something to what he was saying, but not the way that it came across when he said they don't have any idea how to play basketball. That's the quote that's getting the big run.
Yeah. That's where he started. That was the thesis statement that he put on wax.
I don't think he was talking about they. He kind of talked around what he was really getting at. Until he finally said the name. I think he just, Jalen Green right now probably drives him nuts. Jalen Green did not have a really good scoring game last night at all. Charles Barkley and really everybody on that show, they are all about the superstar carrying the load, the big time scorer carrying the load. Yeah, are you that guy?
That does end up being the
you
conversation.
How many times have you heard them talking about postseason or, you know, Steph Curry has to blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Paul has to blah blah. James Harden has to. That I think what that's all about is because there's no way Chuck, and he said it in a way, there's no way that Chuck thinks that this team is not really good. Really good at defense, a lot better than anybody expected. I think he's just frustrated because Jalen Green is doing it again.
Yeah, but say that, man.
He did. He mentioned his name ultimately. He goes, man, he almost had 9 points.
Because, like, again, it's a young squad. They do need to work on making sure that they, you know, that they remain disciplined. But they're fairly damn disciplined for the youth that they have. And, like, obviously, you see the difference. That's one of the reasons why Fred VanVleet is important when it comes to turnovers, because he is one of the guys that orchestrates the offense without a lot of turnovers. Like, those things I understand. But to come out and, like, flatly say this team doesn't know how to play basketball yet, I feel like that's a bridge too far, especially when you consider that they are so damn good at communicating and playing defense in a league where that has become more and more difficult. Like, you can see it, man. Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah, they still need to work on, like, the full brand of basketball that they're trying to get to. And some of the stuff is, like, some of it is personnel right now, because obviously the shooting is part of it, like them not being able to shoot at a high clip. Right, I think that they're 22nd in field goal percentage in the league, and also like 18th in just attempts generally at shooting threes. Like, those things I think factor in. But this the way that he was talking about it, this is the reason why, and this is the big beef I have with inside the NBA in general, is that being the foremost voice in basketball, their first move is to poo-poo on the modern era of the game.
No, that's fair.
Like, they are always boo-booing on the modern era of the game, and this feels like another instance of that, where the way that you could have handled that was saluting the things that they do well and then maybe mention and bring up, okay, there's still ways to go. And you can hear Ernie Johnson trying to fight back. Like, look, man, this is a young squad. These are these things. Like, no, they don't know how to play basketball.
We got three guys under 23.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think they, I think he kind of thought he was in the barbershop at this point because
that's the show.
It seemed like it was, it seemed like he was in the barbershop. Like, man, yeah, they won, but they don't know how to play basketball. They got all this talent, which they do. They got a lot of players, you know, Amen Tom, all these players that got so much talent.
Back in my day.
Yeah, but they just don't know how to use their talent.
But like I think what you guys are saying, I agree with. I think it also runs parallel to what I'm saying. This is a generation of people on that set that want to see the best player take over, want to see the best player take be consistent. They want to see great talent fulfill itself. And I think it's just frustration. Like, man, they're really good. And he said it. They have a great coach. They're playing great defense. They're doing all that. So why is this so frustrating to watch? I think it's because they're not seeing what they want to see consistently anyway from Jalen Green.
Yeah. I was real disappointed in that, but also I shouldn't have been too shocked. Like, that is kind of the way that happens. Mm-hmm. But man, after such a hard fought game where they were able to, I mean, they didn't quit. There was opportunities for them to let go of the rope.
They were down, 90-81 late?
Yeah, and they managed to get through it. And so they'll play on Saturday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're probably on their way, if not already, in Vegas to give themselves opportunity to get ready. This has just been a fun time. All right, do you agree with this, right? The idea of, on the YouTube, Bar None says the Rockets and the Texans are similar. They both need their best player to take over, and they kind of haven't of late. Assuming that you're saying
talk about Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green, and I guess in that instance you're talking about CJ Stroud.
Yeah, the thing is with Jalen Green, we know he got it there. It's just inconsistent,
and
man,
that's what's driving
that's
him
the,
nuts.
That's the problem. That's that's the only issue. I know Jalen Green got it.
We've seen it.
Yeah, no, it's there, but sometimes you go into a game, you don't know what Jalen Green you're going to get. You might get a 40-point Jalen Green.
That frustrating?
Yeah, it's literally up and down.
I think I will say, if we get, you know, what we saw out of Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson last night and Shangoon being more consistent, you really don't need Jalen Green to be.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you need buckets.
It's okay.
You
don't need,
you could be what you are now with Jalen Green being inconsistent. Yeah. But if you want to take that next level,
oh, for sure,
then they going to be a scary team.
And Oklahoma City plays a pretty dang good defense too.
But the tough thing about it is they're also really good offensively. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that the tough stretch that Oklahoma City or that the Golden State Warriors had in this game earlier. It's a little harder to make that happen all the way around because they have multiple guys that are ball handlers that can get downhill, a lot of shooting ability. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, rebounding, all that, man, that is tough. Yeah, and you know what? This might be the answer, 713. Just Jalen Green needs to dunk on Curry. Just do that once for me. Just, like, let's see if we can exercise some things that way. And Juan, me and you are beefing now because he said Reggie just mad because he missed on the lady to watch the Rockets do that. All right. Okay. I see what you're doing. And Ocho says the Rockets and UH are the similar ones. Both are defense only teams. Yeah, UH is an interesting place too. They're going to keep cooking, but early on, lost some tough games to some really good teams. I think lost one to Auburn. Mm-hmm. Trying to think what was the other one that
Alabama.
They lost. Alabama and San Diego State, I believe, the three losses that they have thus far. If there's one thing I believe in, it's Kelvin Sampson's ability to get those guys straight and going in the right direction.
He's got that Ime influence too, or Ime has his, one way or the other.
Yeah, they are both kind of similar in their coaching styles, and like they demand what they demand, and this is the standard, and this is what it has to be. They could be really forward with it, but that's what it is. And so, hey man, Houston sports are in a good place.
They are. You know, obviously, you want to see it take the next level, but Rockets have been quite the surprise, man. I was actually thinking of some players, you know, because this is where I got the idea on the Jalen Green thing, like that frustrate Charles Barkley like Jalen Green seems to, in my opinion. Zion, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Zion. Yeah. And Zion is because, again, this is the fits that same
unfulfilled,
thing.
Unfulfilled
potential, right? Yeah. And that's not taking care of yourself or your body not you know, being able to live up to what is necessary. And I think some of that is maybe not taking care of himself in the right way.
And I think that's why it drives him nuts.
Yeah. 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 No, Juan, I'm messing with you. I know it's all love, brother. I'm not. I was just joking. It might be beef, though. with these gentlemen out at the Buffalo Wild. I guess in that instance it's poultry because it's chicken, but it might be beef with these gentlemen. Is Clint and Ron of the Drive joining us? Because we're still trying to see what this Christian Harris thing goes, man. Like that expensive bottle of wine still on the line here, fellas. What's it looking like?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm not really feeling great about this. I'm very surprised. I'm going to hold out hope. We'll see about this. As the way that Joe Mixon is talking, it may just be a few snaps here, but he's going to be out there. We'll see. I'm still holding out the thought of what D'Amico has said in the past about, hey, we want to at least have these guys out there practice for a little bit, and we never want to go too early. And as much time as he's missed, you certainly don't want to go too early right now. But they sure as hell ain't talking or acting like it's even up in the air. So
yeah, I agree.
I want to ask you gentlemen this question I asked Lopez earlier. Yeah, you're right. And I don't like the tone that you take right now, sir. You around some, you know, nice chicken wings and some beers and everything. Yeah. I know y'all got gifts to give away. Let's come with some good energy here, all right, my man? Come on. What is the concern level like if Christian Harris is not able to play, considering that this Dolphins team gets the ball out quickly, they like attacking that middle of the field? Like, where are you guys sitting on that?
Look, I mean, I'm concerned whether he plays or he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when you talk about, there's one thing to have, you know, play a young quarterback that has no idea what the hell he's doing. He don't know his tail from a hole in the ground, right? And, and then you get into these quarterbacks that you know exactly where they're going to be, but they're disciplined and they process at a high level. And then you get these athletic guys that you want to try to keep them in the pocket, yada, 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 right? When you bump up against a team that has a quarterback that is a perfect fit for what their identity is, and that identity, it's a counterpunch to what your defense likes to do in terms of pressure, getting the ball out quick, having creative quicks, creative screen game, and having guys that can make you miss in a phone booth. That's the matchup of this game. I mean, I'm concerned about all of the underneath coverage guys playing in space and tackling in space, and that includes the linebackers that you mentioned. Whether he plays or not, I'm concerned about that part of the defense.
All right.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that.
I mean, we've been talking about that, and it's just you made me more concerned on that.
Well, I mean, look, I thought it was the word concern around probably
I think it's
too
fair.
Freely. I mean, I'm not concerned. I am, to me, that's the matchup. Can our corners, nickel defenders, and linebackers, can they hold up against a team that is literally built and their identity is attacking that part of the field, right? The quick game from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and their quarterback is as in that particular skill set, he's as good as anybody in the NFL at.
And quick. They love the middle of the field, quick timing. Yeah, that's where they live. And, there's concern about A-Chain getting matched up. Hell, there's concern about A-Chain getting matched up against Christian Harris. Christian Harris have been playing every single game.
Well, they just, by design, they take Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, they take them out of the game.
Right.
They take them out, where they factor far less than the guy that won't sit back there and hold it and stretch the field. So, if those linebackers can cover down, if the corners can cover down, then those guys up front can eat, then that's when the Houston Texans can get a 2-score lead and a 3-score lead and really put the pressure on them. So that's what happens to the Dolphins. If you watch, I mean, it's either a close game or they get lopsided quick.
Right. Fellas, I want to make sure to salute you. I thought y'all both were strong out there with the ugly sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Reggie think he's slick.
What happened?
Say, hey, John, you know this. Clint, you know this. Reggie gonna say, "I want to salute y'all on your ugly sweaters," because Reggie know that he was the star of the night. So Reggie knows, if he brings up the ugly sweater party, we gotta bring up the star of the night. So he just threw that out there. Reggie, I'd have done that a bunch of times. Reggie, we know you got a W. I sure hope you stayed late enough to see if there was another W in store. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you. As I said to you, young man, as an elder of yours, I would just have made sure that was just not a part of the play. And just like, I understand if that was a part of the play, I get it, and I back off. I wasn't convinced that was improv and that wasn't real. And if I were you, I would have checked up on it. I mean, I wanted to check up on it.
Oh, Ron, you would have checked up on it.
I would have wanted
in my circumstances.
On your behalf. Yeah. On your
Ron behalf. Don't check up on nothing, Reggie.
I did. I don't even know if you are aware of what happened there. Tyler.
Yeah, there, but I'm aware.
Because you sure would have checked on it too.
I heard a story.
I just that's the whole thing. I was perplexed the rest of the way, thinking, is this a part of the play? I almost went down a rabbit hole, Lopez, to go and find other plays that they were in to see if that's a line that's normally in it. I'm just saying, if I were you, Reggie, and I'm not jealous. I got a beautiful wife at home, family. Oh, baby. I'm just saying, we living our lives through you. Ain't that right, Figgy? Ain't that right, Figgy?
That's what I said.
I'm telling you, man. I'm just telling you, do it for me.
I don't even know if that's your type. But do it for me.
That old shapely saying, I got Ron worked up.
I'm just saying, had I been in Reggie's position and she said, you cute. Oh, hold on. We just stopped traffic right here in that whole damn place.
I wanted to be like, look, the show stops right now. Let's talk about this.
I got my phone on me. Is this a part of the play? Or do I got a line I'm missing? Baby, that 12 Days of Christmas rendition you did, that was, let me slow down and stop here.
One thing I will tell you, I have it on good authority.
Christmas.
I got it on good authority. That's a part of the script. So I do know that.
I think that's his story.
I do know that. All right. You're listening to KLT.
Good enough for me.
KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. We're out. We'll catch you tomorrow live from DC. But in the time being, the drive is live.